Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, September 16th.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements in the bulletin insert. With fall comes a busy schedule, so there's a lot of things going on, and you're always welcome to take the white sheets home with you so that you have a record of that at home. One thing I do want to highlight is that beginning in October, in order to be able to provide Holy Communion every weekend here at St. Paul, we are changing the communion schedule for Saturday evening worship services. The Sunday morning worship services will stay the same. We will continue to have Holy Communion on the first weekend, the third weekend, and on festival weekends. But on Saturday, beginning in October, we will have communion on the second weekends, the fourth weekends, the fifth weekends, and on festival weekends. So just to let you be aware of that. We keep in our prayers this morning the family of Alton Ray Jalufka. Alton Ray passed away this past week, and his funeral will be today at 2 o'clock at Massey Funeral Home. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Any other announcements? Nick, you got one?
Good morning, St. Paul. Thank you for coming up this morning. In the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1 describes you Christians as righteous, and it also gives you an illustration of you people being like a tree planted by a stream. You're strong, you're rooted in Christ. On the opposite side, it says that the wicked are like leaves of chaff. They just crumble in the wind and they blow whichever way the world tells them to blow. And so they have no sturdy foundation. This Wednesday, we're going to be discussing what that actually means. How do we go about living our Christly life in this world? And when the world decides to go crazy, how we stay rooted in Christ and our faith keeps us strong and doesn't shake us.
All right, thank you, Nicholas. Any other announcements? Anything else? Not then, I invite you to rise as you are so able as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may lie to your will and walk in your ways to the glory.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, number 241. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O God, you declare your almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you have promised, we may share your heavenly glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You may be seated.
The first lesson today is taken from Isaiah chapter 50. The image of the servant of the Lord is one of the notable motifs in the book of Isaiah. Today's reading describes the mission of the servant, whom early Christians associated with Jesus. Like Jesus, the servant does not strike back at his detractors, but trusts in God's steadfast love. The reading starting with verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 8, and we will read it responsively. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him.
The cords of death entangled me, the grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought very low, and he helped me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul. The Lord has treated me well.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. The second lesson is taken from James chapter 3. This text uses various images to illustrate how damaging and hurtful the way we speak to and about others can be. Not only are we to control our speech, but what we say and how we say it are to reflect our faith. The reading starting with verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever thought about it? We all have names. Most of us were probably given our names by our parents, and our given names are generally more formal type of names, like William or Joseph or Susan or Clarabelle or whatever your name may be. Mine is Timothy, but we generally go by shorter names or maybe nicknames or by pet names a lot of times, because names tell us a lot of, it tells people a lot about who we are. Our last names may tell where our original nationality was or where we had come from. It may be German or Swiss or French or Spanish or wherever else that your family originated from as you immigrated here to this place. But then our nicknames also say something about us, maybe just something more of an endearment, or maybe it's just a shortened part of our name. I know my father's name, he had a long name. He actually had extra middle name. It was Delvin Lee Otto Muehlbrad, but he got the nickname Fritz. And there's a story behind it. I think he went into a store and the store owner asked, "Little boy, what's your name?" And he told him, "Delvin Lee Otto Muehlbrad." And he says, and the store owner said, "That's too long of a name. I think I'll just call you Fritz." And it stuck. So names stick with us, or it may be names of endearment, such as you may call your wife honey, or dear or sweetie or something else to that nature. But then there's also derogatory names, and I don't think I'll go into that today. But then there, we also call groups of people by names. We are Lutherans. We are Protestants. People may be Democrats or Republicans, or they're liberal, or they're conservative, or they're radical, or they're terrorists. We have groups. We call groups of people by names as well then, too. But it's in our baptism that we are given our real name. Our real name is Child of God. At baptism, we are named as a child of God. God claims us as his own, as a loving parent claims their own child and holds them close. It's in baptism that we are given the name that truly has meaning in our life, a child of God. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? What do they call me?" Some of the answers came out as John the Baptist, who is brought back to life, or Elijah, who was foretold to appear at the end times. Others said, "You are a prophet." But then Jesus asked them more pointedly, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's Peter then who pipes up and says, "You are the Messiah." Messiah is the Hebrew, Christ is the Greek. So he says, "You are the Messiah, or you are the Christ. You are the anointed one." Now, Peter had all sorts of conceptions about what this Messiah was or who this Messiah would be. And with some of the biblical literature, it would spell out then of who this Messiah was, because the people had been waiting for hundreds of years, for centuries, for the Messiah to come. They had been waiting. And the Messiah was to be the one to restore Israel, to call all of God's children back together again, to restore their faith, to point towards worship, and to get rid of the ungodly, to restore the people once again into their glory. But then Jesus starts to explain to them exactly what's going to be happening. This is kind of a turning point in Mark's gospel. From this point on then, Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. That's where his focus is, particularly here in Mark's gospel. Mark points towards Jerusalem from this point on in his gospel writings. But Jesus starts to explain to them what's going to happen, that he would be suffering many things, that he would be rejected by the chief priest and the scribes and the elders, that he would undergo a lot of torment, and that he would be killed. And then on the third day, he would rise again. And Peter responds by saying, "No, that can't happen to you. That's not who the Messiah is." Peter's conception of the Messiah was different than what Jesus had for his ministry. Jesus rebukes Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." It draws us into the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. When Satan came to Jesus when he was in the wilderness, right after the waters of baptism, Jesus goes into the wilderness and Satan comes to tempt him. And Satan offers him with all the power and the authority on earth. Satan says, "Just bow down to me and I will give you everything. I'll leave you alone. I'll give you everything there is." And this is basically the same temptation that Peter is putting out before Jesus. "Jesus, this can't happen. You're not going to suffer. You're not going to hurt. Everything will be yours. Just use your authority. Use your power that you have." And I'm sure it was very tempting for Jesus. Nobody looks forward to suffering. Nobody looks forward to pain. Nobody looks forward to death. Nobody wants rejection. It was very tempting for Jesus just to use his power, to use his authority, to wipe out all the evil and just have the good left. But that's not God's plan.
That was not God's plan for Jesus to follow. Rather, Jesus came into this world to be one of us, to suffer as one of us, and to be one of us. Jesus refers to himself here in this text as the Son of Man. And not only does the biblical impression of the Son of Man have all those things of the Messiah, of restoring Israel, of raising people up, of leading people back to faith and destroying the ungodly, but it also has that connotation that Jesus is man, that he truly is human, that he suffers all things along with us as we suffer. He is the Son of Man, born of the Virgin Mary. And then, as Jesus explains what's going to happen, he explains it in a way that reflects what Isaiah was saying about the one who was going to come. He uses a lot of language that maybe Isaiah would have, the language of the suffering servant, the one who came to serve, the one who gives up himself in order to save everyone else. In Isaiah 53, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed." Christ gave himself up for us. Peter and the other disciples and the other followers didn't understand it at this time. They had seen Jesus in his healing and in his preaching and casting out of demons and his care for other people. And they saw the power and the might and the majesty and the wonder of God within Christ. But yet they still did not understand that he was going to suffer many things and die for us in order to bring salvation to this world, in order that they may be saved and be made whole in the sight of God. As the Christian church started to gel and to mature, they also added another term, or actually it's also another biblical term, but they also called Jesus the Son of God, because Jesus truly was God's Son. As we say in the Nicene Creed, of one being with the Father, or another translation of that is of one substance with the Father. Jesus is made of the same thing that the Father is made of, yet separate personalities. But yet Jesus is truly God. He's truly man. He is here for our salvation. Jesus told his disciples and his followers to take up your cross and follow me. And so we recognize Jesus as our master, as the one whom we follow, as the one whom we listen to. And we are willing to do what Christ has done for us, to take up our cross. For most of us, it may not be quite that extreme. I don't think there's a whole lot of crucifixions going on anymore in this day and time. However, there are a number of people in our world who do die for the faith, who are martyrs today, who simply because they say, "I proclaim Christ," that their life is in danger. For us, our lives are not necessarily in danger, but we may be ridiculed, we may be laughed at, we may be ignored, we may be given funny looks, we may be argued with even for proclaiming that Christ is the Son of God. But we are to follow Christ in our faith, follow Christ in our service of God, to follow Christ in service to one another. And so what do we call him? What do we call this man? Do we simply call him Jesus, a historical figure from the town of Nazareth? Do we call him the Messiah, or Christ, or the Son of Man, or the suffering servant, or the Son of God? What do we call him? And that is true. We can call him any one of these things. But as we hear his call, "Take up your cross and follow me," we can simply call him, simply, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn number 503. 503. Please rise as we now confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the goodness of our Heavenly Father, let us pray in Jesus' name for the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, grant that your church may always proclaim Christ crucified. In all its words and deeds, cause the church to confess Jesus as your only begotten Son, your chosen and suffering servant, who bears and heals the world's sickness, sorrow, and brokenness of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Persecuted Christians throughout the world follow in the steps of Jesus, bearing their cross in faithful obedience to him. Sustain, protect, bless, and provide for them. Lord, in your mercy. Increase the faith of everyone in this congregation, dear Lord. Conform our ministries and gatherings to Christ. Use us to bring his healing, forgiveness, and salvation to those who are most in need. We pray especially for
Arlene Wisey, and the family of Alton Ray Jalufka. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless and prosper everything that glorifies you and builds up the body of Christ. Increase in us the love of learning, zeal for service, and warmth of spirit. Especially we pray for our teachers and volunteers and all who shine the love of Jesus upon those who do not know him well. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the wonderful rain. Lord, in your mercy, grant a spirit of humility and wisdom to the leaders of nations, the captains of industry, the giants of culture and icons of sport, legislators and judges, researchers, teachers, philosophers, and scientists who shape our world. Remind them that all that they have is from you, given in trust for the benefit of all people. Lord, in your mercy, most holy God, keep in your tender care all who have died trusting in your promises. Comfort those who mourn, not only with words, but with the sure and certain hope that in Christ we receive eternal healing and salvation for body and soul. Help us to encourage one another in prayer, holy living, faith, and love. Lord, in your mercy, incline your ear to our prayers, dear Lord, and answer them according to your most gracious and holy will. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine,
along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world. Make known your love and mercy, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name, and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, number 377. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.